Take your Bibles this morning. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Sounds familiar, right, to you guys? Those that were in Sunday school, you're going to be real familiar with this passage because we read it and we talked about it a little bit. All right, so we had a Sunday school lesson this morning. Repetition is the best teacher, though, right? So we're going to do the Sunday school lesson all over again. No, I'm just kidding. But we are going to preach on some things you should know about the rapture. Some things you should know about the rapture this morning. Now, we looked at the rapture in Sunday school. We kind of qualified where and when it takes place. And we looked at some things about the tribulation and the connection and all of those things. Now we're going to kind of focus more in and learn some things specifically dealing with the resurrection out of this one passage here, about the rapture, out of this one passage here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. So we're going to read this, and hopefully, at least for those of you that were in Sunday school, your mind hopefully is already at least thinking about that. Maybe you might be confused, but at least you're confused on the right topic, you know? I mean, that's a good thing, right? It's okay to be confused as long as you're confused on what we're talking about. And so we want you to look this morning, though, at the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we want to preach some thoughts about the rapture here. And, you know, this is really one of the most important events that we're waiting for, you know? I mean, when you deal with the rapture, now, for those that weren't in Sunday school, what we're talking about here is the time, hopefully, in our very, very near future, we showed how it could be extremely near. I mean, this thing could happen at any moment, any moment in time. It could happen. I mean, it could happen before we get through with the sermon. It could happen in the next 5 seconds. It could happen, you know, maybe even a year from now. But nonetheless, it is still available to us by the Word of God. It could happen at any moment. And, you know, it's something that ought to be one of the driving factors of our life, now because of two things. Number one, at the rapture of the church, if you're saved, born again, you go up. I mean, you are changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as we saw in Sunday school. You are taken to heaven, and that is it. I mean, as far as this earth is concerned, now, you will go through the judgment seat of Christ. You will be a part of the marriage of the Lamb. You will return with Jesus at the second advent on those white horses. And you will be a part of all that. If you earned a reign with Him, you'll reign with Him in glory, according to the Bible, in the millennial reign. But you see, but for as far as this life is concerned, when the rapture takes place, that's it. Now you say, what if I die before the rapture? Well, same thing, that's it. Right? I mean, you say, well, that was comforting. Yeah, that's exactly how you want to start out. But notice here, the rapture of the church, that will be it. So, you know, it ought to be a governing event in your life. Why? Because if you really thought about, and you know what? Some of the biggest problem is we don't think about the right things, you know? Like over there in 1 Thessalonians, or not 1 Thessalonians, that's where we're at now. Over there in Philippians, it tells you, brethren, think on these things, and it gives you the things to think about, but we have trouble doing that. We think about the worrisome things of life, and the hard things of life, and the worldly thing of life. But when you really think about it, the greatest thing that could change your life as a saved person would be if you 100% truly believed every moment that the rapture could happen. Say, why? Because it would change the way you live. I mean, if you have trouble reading your Bible first thing in the morning, if you believe that you were going to see the rapture of the church by the end of the day, I promise you it'd make it easier to read your Bible, would it not? I mean, hey, if you're a person that's having a problem with sin in your life, whatever kind of sin it is, whether it's something you can do at home or something you do outside or whatever it is you do, you know, if you believed in your heart, hey, that the rapture of the church could take place at any minute, you'd have a lot more trouble doing that sin. Why? Because you'd get caught. See, I mean, this event, I mean, where do you want to be when the Lord Jesus Christ returns? I mean, you're going to be snatched out of here, you know? You want to be snatched from a good place, I hope, right? I mean, you don't want to be in the wrong place, you know? You don't want to be in the wrong part of town doing the wrong kind of thing on the wrong kind of day. So you see, this event here could literally change your life. But you see, we know it. Let's just do a little demonstration for ourselves this morning by way of introduction. How many of you have ever heard that the rapture could take place really, really soon? Raise your hand. Look all around the buildings. They're here. Now, so every one of us know about this event. We might not understand everything about it, but we know about it. And we've heard about it, right? So, but yet, it doesn't seem to factor in. How many of you, before Sunday school this morning, had thought about it? Okay, hopefully a couple of you. Maybe, you know, Sunday's a good day to think about it, right? You know, but how about Monday morning? I mean, is that usually the first thing on your mind Monday morning? The Lord, the rapture is going to take place today, and I'm so excited. That is not usually the first thing on my mind Monday morning. I'm like, wow, I got to get up and go to church. What do we got to do today? We got Bible study tonight. Oh, am I the one teaching or is Randy teaching? I hope Randy's teaching. You know, I start thinking about those things, you know. I hope maybe Real Welder's teaching because I don't have a lesson ready. And, oh, did I grade the men's test from last week? Do I have the stuff ready to hand out? I mean, all those things, that's what starts going through my mind, right? You know, I mean, especially, you know, when I'm supposed to be here at 9:30 and I wake up at 9:20. You know, and I really got to think real fast about those things, you know. And that's the way we all are, right? And then before you know it, you're at work and you got problems or you got people screaming at you or we got water mains busted in the front yard and here at the church and you got plumbers you got to call. I mean, things happen beyond your control. And before you know it, you'll have gone a whole day and maybe even a whole week and not even thought about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think, you know, maybe that's why sometimes God sends us so much trouble. You ever thought about that? You know, I mean, we always wonder, why does this have to happen to me? God is just trying to get you to say, even so, come Lord Jesus. I mean, at least get you thinking about His return. Maybe, I don't know, that's free. We ain't even got into the message here this morning. We're just setting the stage. Now, in your Bibles, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's look at some things here about why, you know, about the rapture. You know, this event should change your life, but you know, until you really think about it and look at it and dig into it, it's hard for that to happen. I mean, you know what? I think it'd be a good practice, you know. Some of you probably read a proverb a day. I try to. You know, now there's days when I probably miss it, you know, but I try to read a proverb a day. You say, why? Because there's 31 in the Bible, and that means I can do one a month, except for on that every other month when you only have 30 days and you have to read two. You know, you have to read two, or if you're a man, you can just leave 31 out because that's the virtuous woman, right? And we don't need that one. Just kidding, you don't want to leave that out. But I mean, think about it. So, we read a proverb a day, right? I mean, we do that. You know, hey, you know what? This is 13 through 18 verses. I don't know how many is that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 verses there. Hey, you know what? Probably a good idea if we read these 6 verses every morning. Now, not only these 6 verses, but I mean, that if you're not reading anything, that'd be a good start, right? So, no, I mean, hey, you say, why? Because it could get our minds thinking about this great event that we're waiting for. I mean, you know, as we said in Sunday school, I am not waiting for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm waiting for the rapture of the church because they're two different events. But notice here, the Bible says, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That means we're not going to go before them. That's a simple word there, prevent. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for the day. Thank You most of all for Your Word here this morning. Pray that You'd help us in the preaching of Your Word. Do pray that it might go forth and accomplish a great purpose that You have for it here this morning. Lord God, if there's one that's here today under the sound of our voice that is not saved and is not ready for this event that we're about to preach on, Lord, we do pray that You might deal with their heart, that the Holy Spirit might convict them, Lord God, that see their need as a sinner, and that they might be saved before it's ever too late. Lord God, for that Christian that is here this morning, Lord God, that seldom thinks about the rapture and seldom uses the power of the rapture to change their life, we do pray that we might take these things into consideration. May You be glorified in all that's said and done here this morning, and have Your way in this message and in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, in our Bibles here, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brother. Do you realize that the reason Paul wrote this was for your knowledge? I mean, the very first thing he says was what? Brethren, he said, but, not brethren, but, I would not have ye to be ignorant brethren. Now, there's nothing wrong with being ignorant. I know in today's society we use that as a slang word. But you know what it really means? It means somebody that doesn't know something. Now, realize every one of us in some aspect is ignorant this morning. I mean, there is something that you don't know, that every person in this room doesn't know. I mean, you know, I mean, there is something that you don't know, right? So, I mean, we use it as a bad term today, but what Paul is driving at here is, he's saying, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning those which are asleep. So this is an encouragement. That's what this passage, that's what this topic, other than the Bible doctrine that it teaches, it is designed spiritually for you as a saved, born-again child of God to gain comfort and to gain strength and to gain hope about those who have died in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why it ought to be one of our favorite passages in the Bible. So he says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now we know that means dead, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning. But notice here, and this is going to be one of your rare opportunities. There is no introduction for this message. We're going to go straight to it. So some of you are like, there must be 482 points, right? No, there's not that many, I promise you. But we are going to look at a lot of Scripture. But I want you to see some things you should know about the rapture. I don't know how else to introduce that. These are some things. Paul wrote it. He said, be not ignorant, brethren. So let's get to it. Number one is the promise of the rapture. Now let me ask you something. How many of you have heard, let's say, you know, some of you have been in church probably a long time. How many of you have heard for at least more than 10 years? Now, if you're not 10 years old, you won't be able to raise your hand on this. But have heard for at least 10 years that the rapture could take place at any minute. For at least 10 years. Oh, look at the hands. All right. How many of you have heard it for the least 20 years? Okay, a few less hands. How many for 30 years? Oh, we're dropping them. How many for 40 years? Wow, I'm starting to tell you. I won't go any higher. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But you see what I'm driving at? You say, what are you talking about? Hey, this event is not new to us. But you know what? Hey, you know, I've been told since as early as I could remember. I can remember when I was a kid, I can remember preachers coming and us having revivals, and they'd preach on the rapture of the church, and they'd preach on that. Of course, they're using passages that really didn't apply to it, but, you know, it made good preaching anyway. It might not have been good doctrine, but it made good preaching, and they were using sometimes the wrong passages, but I mean, they would make it so real. I mean, they'd scare you to death in the church. I mean, I remember being afraid that the rapture was going to take place before we left the building and I was going to be sitting there. You know, I mean, that's the kind of preaching I grew up on. I mean, that'll make you think. Now, you say, well, it didn't happen, did it? No. That don't mean it won't. You see, I mean, hey, you go to talk to people today. Well, the Lord's coming back. Oh, preacher, they've been preaching that for 2,000 years. Ever since He left, they've been saying He's coming back. Well, sooner or later, somebody's going to be right. Do you want to be the one that's wrong? I mean, think about that. Now, we look at verse 16. Now, look at this here. We have the promise. Look at this. No, I'm sorry. Verse 15, wrong verse. The promise of the rapture. For this we say unto you by what? By the word of the Lord. See it? Hey, this is not Paul just writing. This is not Paul saying, you know what? I think that the Lord Jesus Christ will one day descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and all the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds. He didn't say that. He said what? He said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, right? That is a guarantee. I mean, I remember, I used to watch, now, this is going to sound weird to people, but see, here's something you didn't know. I have a phobia of food preparation. I remember they made us take home ec when I was in ninth grade. Everybody had to take one semester of it, and that's where I learned I had a phobia of food preparation. I do. I can't explain it. Everybody's got weird phobias. I got one. I mean, if it requires more than a toaster or a bowl of cereal, I don't make it. And by toaster, I mean toaster, not a toaster oven. That's got too many buttons. We're talking toaster oven. Put it in, mash the lever down, it pops up. I can handle that. And I might put something in the microwave, just maybe. Maybe. Depends on how I feel of the day. But I'd rather eat it cold. But notice here, I have a phobia of food preparation. I almost forgot where I was going with that. Well, matter of fact, I kind of did forget. I better come back and look some notes now. But I have a phobia of preparing food. And I have no idea where I was going with that illustration. Boy, don't you love that? What are we talking about? Oh, the promise of His coming. It'll come back to me. Let's just go on. But notice here. So, we're dealing... I totally lost my train of thought. Boy, you ever seen that happen before? All right. But we have a promise of the rapture. There was a good illustration with that, and I don't know what it is. It'll come back to me. All right. Hey, if we get to point number 5, and I have to come back, y'all understand why. But notice here, we're dealing with the promise. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall descend, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord. Hey, there is, I know where I was going with it now. Thank y'all. I knew it'd come back to me. Just patience, patience. The Lord is patience. But you see, since I have a phobia of food preparation, I love to watch people cook. Said, that don't make any sense. I know. But I used to watch this Cajun. He had come on Saturday morning on Channel 10. And y'all may know him. I forget what it was, Justin Wilson or Wilkinson or something like that. He was a Cajun. He had a cooking show. And he was funny. And he would always say, he'd mix up something. He'd say, I guarantee. That was his slogan. I mean, and of course he'd always say, can't y'all smell that? How good it smells. I mean, like, we're on television. Of course we can't smell that. But I used to watch him and he used to put all them ingredients in there and I'd think, oh, that's going to taste terrible. But he'd put it all together and he made it look good. But I never will forget, he'd say, I guarantee, you know what you have this morning? You have a guarantee of the rapture. Why? For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord. What other guarantee do you have in life? I mean, let me ask you something. How many of you plan to eat lunch this afternoon? A lot of hands. Boy, I'm getting some cooperation out of the hands today, if nothing else. All right, at least I got you awake. Hey, you know what? Every one of us, but you don't have a guarantee you're going to eat lunch. I mean, we don't have a guarantee we're going to get out of this building because I might go to supper. Just kidding. But there's no guarantees. I love it. Nowadays, everything, I told you it'd build into a good illustration. Everything nowadays, you go up there and you go back, would you like to buy a 2-year guarantee or warranty? And I'm like, no. It's guaranteed for a year. If I can still find it after a year, it'll probably either be working or I won't be able to find it. Everything, they're selling. I mean, isn't that crazy? I mean, what is it? Stand behind our product, Ford, the best built vehicle in the world. And I kind of agree with that, but, the best built vehicle in the world. And you go buy one, would you like the extended warranty? What do you expect it to break? See, there's no guarantees, right? I mean, everything you buy has a warranty. I mean, you go now, I'm surprised toilet paper don't have a warranty on it. I mean, everything has got a warranty. Everything you buy has a warranty on it, except for the thing that actually breaks. But nonetheless, hey, there is no guarantee, but there's a guarantee of the rapture, no matter how many times you've heard it. I don't know. You say, preacher, you're preaching on it like it's going to happen tomorrow. Yeah, you know what? I thought, like I said in Sunday school, I thought it was going to happen here. I thought it was going to happen there. I thought it was going to happen then. And I thought it was going to happen at this time in my life. And nonetheless, every milestones just keep coming. But you know what? That doesn't change the promise. Say, why? Because in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, the Bible says, for God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall it not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Do you realize, if you're here this morning, you're lost, you can say, preacher, I've heard that before. Well, you're going to hear it again if you stay around here, most likely. And guess what? Someday it's going to happen. And I'd love for it to happen this morning. That'd be cool while I'm preaching on the rapture. But I doubt the Lord will give us that benefit. Maybe He will, though. I don't know. I mean, think about that. Wouldn't that be sad to sit in church and miss heaven when you were hearing a message about going? I mean, boy, that's like waiting in line for 3 days, and they get up there and they say, we just sold the last one. I mean, boy, I mean, that'd be terrible. I mean, sitting there saying, I was so close, and I missed the rapture. I mean, hey, we used to have a preacher and say, hey, I wouldn't even sit through the service. If I was lost, I'd come down front and ask somebody to show me how to be saved. You don't have to wait till the preaching's over. Why? Rapture might happen. Say, oh, that's just foolishness, preacher. The Bible says, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, and sooner or later, the word of the Lord is going to be, come up hither, as we saw in Sunday school. And when He says, come up hither, there won't be any, oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. I wasn't ready. I was just fixing to go and get ready. You know, I mean, you know, you ever played games as a kid? And, you know, I remember when we used to race in the parking lot at church. We used to have a lot of different activities in the parking lot at church. And we'd race and somebody would yell, go. And then one person never failed. Somebody said, I wasn't ready. You know, somebody would always say, I wasn't ready. I thought you were going to count to five. Oh, I said three. I thought you said go on two. You know, all these things. I wasn't ready. Hey, that's not going to work when the rapture takes place. I can promise you by the word of the Lord. Hey, if nothing else, you know, if nothing else I say is true, the rapture will happen. I hope I say a few more true things, but the rapture will happen. I promise you. Why? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Number two. Take our Bibles there, if you would. Look in verse number 14. Now we're just skipping around in the verses, but the first thing is the promise of the rapture. You ought to know that. Say, why? Because until you get that seated and buried in your heart and in your mind, the rapture will never change the way you live. See, I mean, until you're just as absolutely sure that it could happen today as any other day of the week, it will not affect the way you live. See, you got to be looking for it. You got to be ready. You got to be thinking about it. Now, I'm not saying go cash in all your life insurance and live it up because it's going to happen tomorrow. That's not what I'm saying. Because the Bible gives you, you know, God, you know, it's funny. God gives you enough seed. You know, there's a difference. Now, it's a fine line sometimes, but there's a fine line between faith and foolishness. I mean, you know, do I believe the Lord's going to take care of me? Yes, but I lock my doors. Do I believe the Lord take care of my house when I go away? Yes, but I don't put a sign out front that says, we are not home for 2 weeks. Please help yourself. See what I mean? You know, I mean, you got to use some common sense. Do I believe the Lord take care of me? Yes. That don't mean I can drive 120 miles an hour everywhere I go. You know, it's kind of like that old joke, you know, about the guy in the flood. Y'all remember that one? Somebody probably heard it. Guy got in a flood and he wound up getting on top of his house. And, you know, and a boat come by and he said, nope, God's going to take care of me. And another boat come by. Nope, God's going to take care of me. Finally, they send the helicopter and they say, look, this is your last hope, buddy. If you don't get on this helicopter, this safety cable here, you're going to drown. And he said, nope, God's going to take care of me. And so the flood came up and he died and he drowned. He went to heaven. He looked at God and he said, hey, what happened? He said, you dummy, I sent you two boats and a helicopter, what were you waiting on? You know, I mean, you see how that thing goes. God gives you enough sense. So I'm not talking about cashing in your life savings because the preacher said the rapture could happen tomorrow. I mean, God gives you enough sense, you know, to deal with this thing. But you know what? It can still change the way in which you live. Number two, we see the prerequisite. You say, oh, that's a weird word. Prerequisite. For those who's been to college, you know what that is, right? I mean, that means, you know, in college, sometimes if you, like English 101, you got to take English 101 before you take English 102, right? It's a prerequisite. You know, you got to take Calculus 1 before you take Calculus 2. Or at least it would be very wise. Most of the time, the counselors won't let you do it. We had a lot of classes in college that were like that. You had a prerequisite. And you know what? Sometimes the prerequisite didn't come around every time. And so you might have to wait nearly a year to take the second course because you hadn't had the first course. I mean, it can be a mess. It can really mess you up. Prerequisite, it means something you've got to do in order to do something else. Well, not only is there a promise of the resurrection, I mean, of the rapture, there is a prerequisite for the rapture. Take your Bibles, look in verse 14. What does it say? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep where? In Jesus. There's a lot of folks that are asleep right now. You say, what do you mean by asleep? I'm not talking about at home in their beds. I'm talking about in the graveyards, in the earth. Or in the tombs, or in the mantles, or in the urns, wherever. There are a lot of folks asleep, right? Now, so it's not talking to every person that's asleep. See, a lot of lost people read this, oh, God's going to bring us all up. It'll all work out in the end. Nope, because there's a prerequisite. There's a phrase that's in that verse, and that's one of the most important phrases in that verse. It says, those that sleep in Jesus. See, you've got to be in Christ to come up at this resurrection. You've got to be in Christ to be alive. You've got to be in Christ. You've got to be saved, born again, to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as we said in Sunday school. So not only is there a promise of this, but there is a prerequisite. Now, let's look at some things here. Take your Bibles, hold your place here. We will come back. But look over in Ephesians with me. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Now this is a great salvation chapter for the church age, you know. We all know Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, right? That's a famous passage, right? That's how you get saved. There's no works, not of works. Number 9, lest any man should boast. There is no works. So salvation is by grace through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at something here. So with that in our minds, you know what it gives us? It gives us two kinds of people in the world. It gives us those that are in Christ and those that are not in Christ. It gives you those that are saved, born again, those that are lost and dying and going to hell. It gives you those that have hope, and it gives you those that have no hope. It gives you those that have completed the first course and can go up at the second course of the rapture. And it gives you those that don't have the prerequisite to make it in the event. Look in Ephesians chapter number 2. This we see in verse number 11. Now Paul is talking to some folks here and he says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called in circumcision by that which is called the circumcision, that's through reference to Gentile versus Jew, in the flesh made by hands. Now look at verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. If you're not saved, if there's never been a time and a place in your life where you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, you are without God and therefore without hope in the world this morning. And let me say this, you have not made the prerequisite. This great event that we're all talking about, you do not qualify for. And you know what? It's funny. In the society that we live in, everybody's qualified for everything. I mean, they got billboards all over. I don't know. I used to see them all over the town here. And it's these places that are trying to loan you money. And their slogan, one of them had a slogan that said, "Come get the money you deserve." You may not deserve it, right? But see, we live in a society that you can't say that. I mean, you turn somebody down on something, oh, well, it was because of my color or my creed or my race or my religion or, you know. No, it might just be simply the fact you didn't deserve it. You know, I mean, you can't hardly fail a kid in school no more. Say, he made a zero. We can't give him a zero. We can't enter that in the computer. That'll malfunction the whole system. We got to give him at least a one. Well, he didn't deserve a one. You know? I mean, think about it. I mean, you get awards for everything. You can't give this person an award unless you give this person an award. Then, well, we can't have this one left out. Hey, they don't deserve it. You know what? Hey, you might have been exposed to that. You might have grown up in that. But guess what? With God, there is no such thing. God gives out according to what you deserve. And you'll get exactly what you deserve. You say, oh, that's horrible, preacher. You say, you mean a person deserves hell if they die without the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, think about it. If God Himself took His only begotten Son and crucified Him on a cross so that you and I could be saved, and you say, I'll get there another way, don't you deserve to not get there? See, we're in a warped society. And you know what? It's got Christians warped at the same time. We think we just deserve everything from God no matter what we do. Well, God, I can live like the devil himself and you got to bless me because you bless your children. Where's that in the Bible? See, God is not a God. God is a God. He is a God of deserved. So you see, there is a prerequisite. If you're not saved here this morning, you're without hope and you're without God in the world. Now in Christ Jesus, look at verse 13, but here's the opposite side of that. But now in Christ Jesus, see that phrase? But now in Christ Jesus, what? Ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. See, there it is. There's the flip side. See, you know, the prerequisite is simple. You're either in Christ, and I'm not saying these people are, I'm just, somebody's got to be on the left. So somebody's got to be in the not. I don't know, we'll swap it up. Maybe these guys. So you're either in Christ or not in Christ. But you're one of the two. You say, oh, preacher, I'm in the middle. There is no Switzerland. You know, that's man, that ain't God. There is no middle. You say, oh, what about purgatory? Or, oh, what about the other places? Or, oh, what about all... There is none of that in the Bible that I found, that I can see in 66 books. But notice here, the Bible does say, though, but now in Christ. You say, well, preacher, how in the world can I get in Christ? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Say, you mean that'll put me in Christ? Sure as I'm standing here. Or either God's a liar. And if God's a liar, then you don't have to worry about it because the rapture ain't going to happen anyway. Right? See, if we start everything from the premise that God's book's not true, well, then we might as well pack up and go home. But if it is true, then there's an event called the rapture. And by the word of the Lord, we say this, for we speak unto you by the word of the Lord. It will happen. Number two, if it's true, then there's a prerequisite because it says those folks have to be in Christ. Say, how do I get in Christ? Well, look at this thing here. We don't have time to teach on this doctrine, but I will show you the verse. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. See, notice here, there's a prerequisite, and it's called being in Christ. How do I get in Christ? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There better be a place and a time where God showed you, God's going to show you you're a sinner. You're not just spontaneously combusted into the family of God. Heard a woman one time that said, well, I've just always been saved. Okay. Where's that in the Bible? Just always been. Preacher, I was just born into it. I don't think so. But, you know, if you want to ride on that hope, that's you see how far that's going to get you. You know? But notice here, 1 Corinthians 12. So you see, you got to be in Christ. How do we get in Christ? It's salvation in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when that takes place, there's something spiritually. You say, I don't understand this, preacher. Well, good, because I don't understand it either. But I know the Bible says it so, and this is what places you in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. You say, how in the world does that work? I have no idea. But the Bible says it so. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. That is baptism of the Holy Spirit of God right there. And He places you spiritually into the body of Christ the moment you receive Him. Say, oh, I have been water baptized. It ain't got nothing to do with that. You say, oh, I have been speaking in tongues, so therefore I received the baptism. It ain't got nothing to do with that. It is spiritually being put into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, and that's done the moment you get saved. It's strict, it's plain, it's simple, it's easy. But yet people avoid it. And that's why. See, it's a prerequisite, though. Folks, if you're going to make the rapture, there's a prerequisite. I hope and pray that every person in here this morning is saved, but I'd venture to say there's probably at least somebody in this building today in a crowd of this size that's not saved. And I'm here to tell you, there's a promise, but there's a prerequisite. And number three, this is where it gets good. The power of this thing. Say, how in the world can this happen? You know, let's stop and think about it in a minute. Now, we're talking about an event in which Jesus Christ, or God Himself, shouts, the voice of the archangel. I know it's all there, one. Jesus said, come up hither in John, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. But there's a shout there. There's a voice as of a trumpet, voice of a trumpet. There's this great shout. And you mean to tell me that every person since Acts chapter 2 that received the Lord Jesus Christ, their body is going to come up and out of wherever it was? You say, preacher, I just have a hard time believing that. I mean, so-and-so, you know, I mean, now, you know, let's think about this. I mean, you know, now, were there saved folks in Japan? Very possibly. When Nagasaki and Hiroshima went off? Very possibly. You know what happened to those people? I mean, you know, they were, I mean, obliterated. There was nothing left. I mean, I've seen the pictures, and you can see them, where, you know, the radiation and the way that happened so fast, there's a shadow that is permanently on the concrete of their body. But there's nothing else there. And you mean to tell me that God knows where all those particles are? And they're going to come back together? Now, I realize it's going to be changed. You say, God, make them a new body. Either way, He's going to bring them. You mean every person can... Now, let's think about that. I mean, if you think about the number of people that will be resurrected at the rapture. Now, not to mention all us folks that are alive on earth. And I'm speaking as if it'll happen in our lifetime. But think about how many people have died since Acts chapter 2 that were saved, born again. I mean, I realize a lot of people died lost and went to hell. But notice how many people, what kind of power is that? Take your Bibles, look there in verse number 16. We're back over in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I told you to hold a card there. Now, look at here. What is the power? You say, what kind of power could do this? See, you know what? A lot of times people that really, I mean, I believe they're sincere. I believe they believe the Bible, but their mind, they have a hard time. They want to believe the Bible, but they have a hard time because of the reality. They try to make everything, you know, they try to put everything that'll fit into, you know, they have to take the Bible stuff and make it fit their mind, you know. I have to understand that or else I can't fully believe in it. And you know what? That'll mess you up because look at the power that is found here in regards to the rapture. The Bible says in verse 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with what? With a shout." Say, how good is that? Well, let's talk about that just for a minute. You know what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4? It says, where the word of a king is, there is power. Now you say, let's talk about this power of the Word of God. Notice here, Jesus Christ. Now, first off, let's go over here. Let's go back to the book of John and leave it and put a note here. We're coming back. What is the power of the rapture? Hey, what is the power that drives this event and makes it happen? Hey, it is the Word of the Lord. Jesus, the Lord Himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout. And that's what's going to start this event. You know what's keeping it from happening right now? He hadn't said it. I mean, hey, we're going to look in just a minute. I'm getting ahead. We'll go ahead and get ahead. That's fun sometimes. But, you know, you go over there and we're going to see it in a minute. But when he called Lazarus out of the grave, what did he have to do? He had to call Lazarus by name or else what? Or else every person in that grave would have walked out of there. That had a serious problem. You say, what? Hey, you say, what is it? That's power. And you know what it is? It's the power of the Word of God. Now look at this in John chapter 1. Let's go back over here and put this thing together. In John, this is one of the greatest parts of this. You know why it's sure? Well, God said it. Yeah, but how sure is His Word? Well, let's look at what His Word is and what it does. You know, hey, there's a prerequisite. Yeah, but how sure is that prerequisite? Well, it's found in the Word of God. And let's look at what the Word of God is. Hey, you mean there's a power that does all this resurrection and all this body changing? Yes, it is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But greater than that, it's the power of the spoken Word. And look here in John chapter number 1, in verse number 1, what does it say? In the beginning was what? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. You say, who is he talking about? He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look there in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You say, the Word was Jesus Christ? Yes. Look at verse number 3. Now, look at this right here. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Hey, you know what? Hey, He in Him was life. If He has got the power of life in Him, and He is the Word of God, and everything that exists on the face of this earth came from Him saying, let it be. Let there be light. And what was there? There was light. Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. And there was what? Fishes and whales and all kind of stuff. Let the earth bring forth seed. And what did it do? Stuff come out of the ground. Now, isn't it amazing? Somebody say, well, I believe God created everything, but I just don't know about this rapture deal. It doesn't make sense. You say, why? Because it's the power. And you know what? Jesus Christ, when He came down here, He had that. The Bible says, in Him was life. Now, get that. Where's the life? In Him. What's the prerequisite? You got to be in Him. it makes sense. Read on. Let's go. Let's go over in our Bibles. Take your Bibles. Look over if you would in John chapter number 11. Hey, this is why in John chapter number 11. Now, this gets good. In John chapter number 11, when old Lazarus died, and y'all know all about that. We won't read the whole passage. Well, I'm in the wrong one. It wouldn't help us in there anyway. But in John chapter 11, you know, when Jesus finally did show up, look at what Martha says. Martha said unto him, verse 24, I know that he shall rise again if they're in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Say why? Because He is power. Where the word of a king is, there is power. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. Hey, if He spoke the world into existence, then He can speak you back to life. And He can find your body particles wherever they may be or were and bring them back together and make you what you were, just in a little better form. But notice here. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's the key. Say, preacher, that's hard to believe. I know it is. That's why it's called faith. Say, where in the world am I going to get faith to believe that? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Isn't that amazing? The same power that's going to bring all this up is the same power that gives you the faith to believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, there's a big circle there. And you can either step in it, or just say, you know what, I'm not going to get involved in that. But notice here, it's the power. Now you say, well, what happened over there? Let's take our Bibles and we'll go over there. Let's back up to John chapter number 10. Now this is interesting. This is why Jesus Christ, look there. I mean, look in John chapter 10, look at verse number 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know, as the Father knoweth me, even so now I'll get it right in a minute. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. That's why when he was on the cross, he could say, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost. Say, why? Because he had that power. You say, yeah, but after he died, did he still have that power? Sure thing. You can jump over. If you don't want to go all the way over there, I'll read it for you. But notice over there in Revelation chapter number 1, in verse 18, over there when John sees him here, when he's been given the revelation, in Revelation 1 verse 18, Jesus says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And what? And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. You know, keys are power. Say what? You can do a lot with a key. But notice, Jesus Christ has the power. See, that's the power source. Now we're going to look at one other verse in connection. You know what the power of the resurrection, the power of the rapture is? It's the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. Look, Jesus spoke it all into existence, and He can speak it all out of existence. I mean, think about that. Now, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Word, and you believe in all the power that it has, what do you do with this? You say, oh, preacher, but that's not the same. 1 Peter 1:23 says, for you're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by what? By the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. If this is the book that can save you, isn't it amazing? Now I'm going to switch over to Christians here for a minute. But think about this. This is the book that can save us. This is the book that speaks the world into existence. This is the book that is said to be alive forevermore. But yet we won't follow its advice on how to live. We won't follow its advice on how to run our families. We won't follow its advice on how to raise our children. We'll go to man, we'll go to psychologists, we'll go to every other source there is before we touch this one. Isn't that wild? But yet then we won't turn around and say, oh, it's the power of the resurrection. And it is. It just shows you how out of whack sometimes even saved, born-again children of God think. in how we act and how we regard the Word of God. Take your Bibles there. Look over in Romans chapter number 8. We're still dealing with that power. See now why there's no introduction. Romans chapter number 8. Look there at verse number 13. I'm going to give you this real quick and we'll move on. But I want you to see something. Why? Because it's connected to you. You say, well, preacher, I understand that power. I understand Jesus Christ had that power. I understand how He could raise Lazarus from the dead. And I understand how if He had said, come forth, everybody out there would have come forth. But that ain't what He said. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And I guess there was only one Lazarus in the cemetery. But, nonetheless. But notice here in Romans chapter number 8. In Romans chapter number 8, verse number 13, look at something here. You say, preacher, I understand all that power, but how does that apply to me? Well, look at something here. Because that power is connected with the Spirit of God. You know, the Spirit, you say, well, that's different from Jesus Christ. Yeah, it is, but it ain't. They're all three one, they're all three separate. How does that work? I have no idea. Don't try to figure it out. You'll just either go crazy or get a real bad headache. But one of the two. You know, so notice here. Just accept it and go on. But look at this. Romans chapter 8. If you would, I'm sorry, I directed you the wrong place. Romans chapter 8. That's a good verse, 13, by the way. But we want verse 11. But if the Spirit, capital S, of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies that by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. See, there it is. Say, what is that power that's going to raise you up? It's the Spirit of God. And unless it dwells in you, you don't have that power. See, that is the prerequisite. When you get in Christ, you get the Spirit of God. That's the prerequisite. Say, what is the power? The power is the Spirit, and the Spirit is the Word of God. It's all connected. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the resurrection and life. He spoke it. It came to pass. Notice here. So we have the promise of the rapture. The prerequisite. We have the power. Look at number 4. We have the preservation. Look over there in 1 Thessalonians. I hope you held a card there. I removed mine, but I'll get back over there. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Notice there in verse number 17. Boy, I like this. This is why we read it at funerals. This is why we read it at gravesides. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now look at this. And so shall we sometimes be with the Lord. And so shall we be there for till we mess up and get kicked out. So shall we be there if we know the right thing to say to Peter at the gate, right? Like all the jokes. No. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the preservation of the rapture. You know what? When that takes place, this world is over. I never have to worry about living on this earth again as a sinner. You say, will you live on this earth again? Yeah, if I get to reign with Him in the millennial reign, I'll come back. But I'll be a different creature by then. I'll be transformed. Notice here. See how simple it is? The preservation. You know what? This is a... You know what? Your preservation is connected to this. Now, I realize you got your eternal life. That's a present possession. But it's connected to the rapture because that's what's going to get you out of here to live forever. If you die on this earth before the rapture takes place, hey, one day you're going to be resurrected to live eternally. It's the preservation. Now notice, what is this preservation connected with? Well, guess what? It's connected with being a son of God. It's connected with being in Christ. Behold, he which hath begun a good thing in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. It's not us that does it. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But take your Bibles. Look if you would. Look real quick. I want to show you something. You're in Thessalonians. Back up over here. Back up to Philippians. I'm going the wrong way. Philippians chapter number 3. Look there. If you would, in verse number 21. Now, notice this here. We're dealing with the fact that, we're dealing with the fact that we have the preservation. Hey, what is this connected with? It's connected with that new body. Hey, this old body will pass away. If you're alive at the rapture, it gets changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. If you're dead at the rapture, you get resurrected with a new body. Where do we see that? Look right here in verse 21. Who shall change our, Philippians 3, verse 21. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself, according to the working, His working. See, that's eternal security is connected with this here. You know what? Your preservation, the rapture, it's the event that preserves us forever. It's like being put up and canned in a jar. You're good to go. Till somebody pops the top, right? But guess what? There is no top to pop. You know? I mean, think about it. This is your preservation. Say what? The rapture. Take your Bibles, if you would. The preservation. Look over there in 1 John. In 1 John chapter number 3. I want you to look at something there. In 1 John chapter number 3. I know we're looking at a lot of Scripture, but that's good. 1 John chapter number 3. In 1 John chapter number 3, we see something here. Now I want you to remember, let's back up to something. Just for a minute. What was the previous one? We had to have the power of the resurrection, right? In John chapter 1 and 1 and 1, in John chapter 1 verses 12 and 13, it says, you have given power to become the what? Sons of God. See, that's this change. Now look at here, it's fully connected there. I know you're a son of God right now if you're saved. But one day you're going to be conformed directly to His image. Look at 1 John 3 verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. Not we hope, not we think, not we guess, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We get a glorified body that's going to live forever and ever and ever. And when that's done, start it all over again. It's forever. Your preservation is connected to this rapture. The fact that you'll live forever. One more verse. Look over there in John chapter 5. What is it connected with? John chapter 5. Look at verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. Why? Because the Spirit dwells in you. What is that Spirit capable of doing? Raising you up. It puts you in Christ and it'll raise you up. It's all connected. Notice here. But look at this. For he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Jesus Christ died, was buried, resurrected. And the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is where? In His Son. See it? We're in verse 13, 12, 1 John, if I said John, I didn't mean John. 1 John 5, verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But verse 11 says, this life is in His Son. That takes us all the way back to the prerequisite. Folks, if you're not in Christ, you don't have that life. If you're not in Christ, you don't have that Spirit. If you're not in Christ, that Spirit won't resurrect you from the dead. If you're not in Christ, you won't be called up to meet Him in the air to be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. See, it all goes back to the prerequisite. But one step further back is, whether you're ready or not, here I come. Isn't that what we say when we play hide and seek? Ready or not, here I come. You ought to think about that. One day God's going to say, here I come. You say, what's He doing right now? He's counting. He said, where's the Bible verse for that? There is not one. But I believe He's counting. Why? Because He knows the time. He knows the hour. He knows the minute. Say, God don't have to count. Well, I realize that. But nonetheless, He's counting. Say, and He's getting ready. Say, well, is He counting to 10 or is He counting to 100? I wish I knew. Is He counting one day? Is He counting 2 days? How does God judge time? A little different than we do. I wish I knew. Say, why? Because sooner or later He's going to say, ready or not, here I come. And folks, you better be ready. Take your Bibles. Last thing, we'll go back. We'll close out with this. We go back to 1 Thessalonians. We're in 1 John. We go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. See, we got the promise of the rapture. We've got the prerequisite of the rapture. We've got the power of the rapture. How these all became P's, I have no idea. I had these notes written in my Bible. Somebody else might have preached this. I don't know. I just had these words written down in my Bible. That's how come they're all P's. But now I lost train of thought. We had the promise. We had the prerequisite. We had the power. We had the preservation. But last of all, we have the peace of the rapture. Look in 1 Thessalonians. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. What's that last verse? Do you see it? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And I can't find 1 Thessalonians. He disappeared. Maybe he got raptured out of my Bible. I don't know. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18. Wherefore? Wherefore? After all that's been said, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds. That's our preservation. When we look at verse 18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know what? The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's salvation. If you're not justified, if you've not been saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no peace with God. You know, in all the old Westerns, they say, you better make your peace with God. You say, why? Because they're about to kill you. You know, and hey, you better. I mean, you never know. Rapture could take place tomorrow or in a moment. But peace with God. Then we get over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and we find the peace of God that passes all understanding. See, you know what? Hey, do I understand why a baby dies? No. Do I understand why a child dies or why a teenager gets killed or dies? Do I understand why, you know, a mother, you know, has a baby and then something tragically happens to the mother and there's a child with no mother? Do I understand all that? No. But there's a peace that passes all understanding. And it's the peace of God. And it's connected with this right here. You say, why? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Why? Because if you're saved, if you're born again, if you're in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're in Jesus, in Christ, the wording we've used this morning is all the same. If you are there, hey, you know what? No matter whether you die, whether you live, no matter whether you wake, hey, when you lay down your head on the pillow at night, whether you wake up in the morning or whether you die in your sleep, it does not matter. You have a peace in your heart that you know that you're going to go to heaven and one day the rapture is going to take place and you're going to be resurrected and there shall we ever be with the Lord. That's why John said, even so come Lord Jesus. But you know what? If you don't have that peace here this morning, that will be the scariest thing in the world. You know, I remember one time when I was seriously having problems with my salvation, whether I was saved or not. I was a teenager back there and we was having a, you know, and boy, our preacher, boy, we had a preacher. I mean, he could make hell so real. I mean, you could smell it. You could taste it. You could feel it. And I mean, you know, boy, you were either sure you were saved or you were in trouble. One of the two. You know, but I mean, he would. You know, I remember one time I got to worry about that. And then he preached on the rapture. You'd think, finally, he ain't going to preach on hell. But then he preaches on the rapture. And you're like, so, you know, every time it thundered, I thought, whoa, did I miss it? I better go check, look around, see if people are still there. You say, oh, that's silly, preacher. No, that's believing it's going to happen. And if you really believe that and you didn't have peace, you'd find it. Say, why? Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. What was he talking about in John when he said that? He's talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Spirit that dwells in us that's going to resurrect us. See how it all just, I mean, it's like the more you run it, the more it comes right back the same. Say, why? Because in Him was life. John 1:3. In the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. See, it all starts with Him, and it all ends with Him. And if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you have not made the prerequisite. And you do not understand, nor can you comprehend the peace that verse, wherefore, comfort one another, can bring you. Why? Because you don't have the peace of the rapture. Heads bowed, eyes closed. As they come, we'll have a verse or two of a hymn of invitation. I challenge you here this morning. If you're not saved, or you're not sure of your salvation, whether you believe it or not, whether you want it to happen or not, one day, Jesus is coming. One day, He's going to say, ready or not, here I come. If the rapture happened before we left this invitation, where would you be? To meet the Lord in the air with the clouds? To meet the Lord in the clouds in the air? Or would you be sitting on the pew going, what just happened? Where would you be? Only you can answer that. But you know what? Saved person. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I've got the peace of the rapture. I'm just as sure as I'm going to heaven. If that rapture took place, I mean, there is no way possible anybody should look for me here. It just ain't going to happen." I hope you're that sure this morning. Let me ask you something. Do you live like it's going to happen before you leave this building? Do you let it affect you? Do you let it change your life? Folks, if you're lost and you need to be saved, why don't you come? We have this invitation, or you can come now. We have lots of people here, man, woman, child, whatever, that could speak to you about salvation. And you can know, you can have the peace before you leave this building. But most of all, saved people, is it affecting you? This message is as much for us. Paul wrote it to save people. I realize it has a great impact on lost people, but he wrote it to us. Brethren, I would not have you be ignorant of these things. Do they change or affect in any shape, form, or fashion the way you live? God spoke to your heart. Why don't you come? Lord God, we thank you for this day. Thank you so much for all that you do for us. We thank you for the rapture, Lord God. We thank you for the promise of the rapture. We thank you for the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ overcame death, hell, and the grave, and that he is the resurrection and the life, and that one day he will descend from heaven with that shout. And Lord God, I pray that there's not a person in this building that'll miss that. But Lord God, I pray that you might deal with those hearts if there is someone here lost. Help them to have a desire to be saved. Most of all, Lord God, we do pray for those that are saved. Lord God, let us live like it. Let us believe it. Let it affect our lives in a way in which others could see that we believe it. Because we tell them it's going to happen, we need to show it. And Lord God, we thank you for the promise. And we thank you for your word. Have your way in this invitation. May you be pleased and glorified with all that's said and done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.